On Monday, leaders of the G20 economies will meet in Mexico for a two-day summit. Ahead of the meeting, CIDSE, an international alliance of Catholic development agencies, is calling for the issue of food insecurity to be put high on the agenda at the gathering. CIDSE says reducing inequality and promoting sustainable development must be at the heart of the G20's plans to address food insecurity in the short, medium, and long term. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Giselle Henrique, the group's policy and advocacy officer for food, agriculture, and sustainable trade.
What is your message, the CIDSA message, for these leaders?
Well, first, we would like them to understand that food insecurity is not just a matter of insufficient food availability and production. So focusing only on increasing production is not going to solve our problem. We fundamentally believe that hunger is a matter of exclusion, social exclusion, economic exclusion, and marginalization and disenfranchisement of people. And the poorest are the most excluded because they don't participate and they don't have access to food. So it's a matter of distribution and of access. And the message we would like to send to them, therefore, is that focusing on increasing production via industrial agricultural methods that are creating and contributing to environmental degradation as well as climate change is not the solution.
The figures are quite staggering when you hear figures like there's 925 million people in the world without enough to eat, but we're talking about 300 children dying, as you point out, from malnutrition every hour. It's a staggering figure, and you would wonder, I mean, these leaders obviously have these figures as well, so you'd wonder what they're doing to try and change things.
Yeah, I think agriculture is a sector that is very important to the economies of many countries. Farmers, whether in the north or in the south, are important contributors to national GDP. And I think there is competing ideologies at work here. You have big agribusiness that sees an opportunity to generate a lot of money from agriculture. So what you get in the north is an over-surplus production. We have about 30% of food that is actually wasted in the north. So there's a lot of overproduction of food happening in the north, some of which is getting dumped in the south via economic partnership agreements and other types of trade agreements. And then you have people dying in the south, also because food is getting wasted. About 30% of food gets wasted in developing countries, but this is on-farm waste because there isn't enough post-harvest facilities. There's no refrigeration. People don't have access to markets so that they can't sell their food and generate income to purchase it during the hungry season. So there's a series of problems here. And I think that whatever the G20 decides to do, they need to recognize that there will be different answers depending on local context. Supporting large-scale industrial production is not going to get food to the plate of the hungry, because the hungry are not going to have money to purchase this food. So it's a little bit of a smokescreen that is used oftentimes, I think, to the benefit of industrial agriculture, frankly, that says, okay, we are going to save the world, we're going to increase production, we're going to increase production, but then how this food will get to the plates of those that are actually hungry, that they don't really think about. That's one of our major concerns. We would like, rather, that the solutions be focused on those that are actually suffering from hunger and malnutrition and not coming from outside and benefiting third parties. So for us, it is very important to invest in local food security. So you invest in increasing production of those that are actually hungry, so that they can feed their families directly. And you also enable them to access local markets so that they can feed their communities with prices that are fair and where people can actually purchase. because if food is coming from outside, it's going to cost a lot more money. That's what we saw with the food price hikes in 2007 and 2008. Countries that had food security strategies based on imports suffered the most. And those were the populations that went most hungry.
The situation for areas of conflict, we hear about areas of conflict where there is conflict, it seems to affect food distribution, food prices. That seems to have an effect in countries where there is conflict.
Absolutely. One of the things that we see very clearly is that this is one of the weapons of war. So throughout time, throughout history, but we saw it very clearly in Ethiopia and Eritrea, in the 1980s with famine. Famine is often used as a weapon of war. So governments want to have control over certain populations, and what they do is they fence them off and they starve them, basically. They don't distribute food in those areas, especially when there is a drought. It's very common for governments to do that. They will distribute food, regimes, if you will distribute food to people who support them and not to those who don't support them, which kind of further proves my point about food, a hunger not being just an issue of production. It's really an issue of access as well. And this is in a very important case where that takes place and where it is used as a weapon of war. And this is something that we need to be very, very vigilant about. So where areas where there are conflict, I think the international community, especially the World Food Program, which is very responsible for food distribution in these areas, that they must really be aware and attuned to these kinds of factions and any kind of like vulnerable populations that are possibly being excluded from the distribution of food.
So we're saying that the G20, they were calling on the G20 to live up to the promises they made in Seoul in 2010. Sometimes people feel that, you know, we have these discussions, we have these summits, but we don't seem to get that. We don't seem to get to the place where we need to be, that there's some country that doesn't want to sign on to something or there's some disagreement somewhere. Do you think people can get a bit tired of different conferences that don't, at the end of the day, come up to much?
Absolutely. I think that happens all the time. In fact, I am right now in Rio de Janeiro getting ready for the Rio Plus 20, and a lot of people think this is just going to be one of those pretty conferences where everybody claps hands at the end of the day, signs a document, and it's forgotten. I think this is unfortunately the way it is, and I think the best thing that we can do at this stage is move on from making commitments to actually implementing the things that we say that we are going to do. And this is really what's missing for policymakers. I believe that the G20 is first of all not the legitimate forum to be discussing food security. They can support and provide all kinds of inputs if they like and just general support. But the legitimate organ to be discussing food security is the Committee on World Food Security, which is a UN body that has representation of every state in the planet. The G20 does not. The G20 should not be making decisions for countries that are not present. So that's something that we feel very strongly about. But at the same time, we don't want the G20 to contradict what the Committee on World Food Security is de facto asking the governments of the world to do. So, you know, we're a little bit concerned, this current G20 in Mexico, we're a little bit concerned about some of their positions regarding the regulation of markets. It's a little bit of always the same. G20 in France last year was very strong about trying to address food prices and financial speculation. In the end, the document was quite weak, and we see the G20 in Mexico continuing in that same sort of weak vein. They know the issues that need to be tackled, but yet they're not doing enough. We would like to see the G20 put more strong position on the better regulation of markets. I'm talking about commodity speculation there. We would like them also to support and strengthen local food production, which was the issue that I was saying. Hunger is actually, you have to invest in the people who are hungry. You have to enable them to solve their problems, not have it come from outside. We also would like to see a better support to build local markets and to relocalize local markets. I think this is really, really critical in the North and in the South. So instead of using trade as a food security strategy, that people can like grow for their own local markets. There's no need for us to be, you know, exporting grapes when we can grow grapes in our region or in our countries as well, and then import grapes coming from another place. I mean, that happens so often in the trade system. So that's quite inefficient. And there's a very important issue also, which is that of strategic food reserves. The G20 loves to talk about, yes, we need to build emergency food reserves, but that's not enough. Yes, we need to build emergency food reserves, but we need to build strategic food reserves. These are regulatory stocks that can help governments mitigate the fluctuation in prices. So if there is a sharp shoot in prices, governments can release some of their stocks to help mitigate the impact. When governments have no national stocks and prices really go up, then they can't do much in terms of helping equalize some of those prices.